This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning. Well, back to the NBA. Soon back to the NHL, and I don't know why I'm so disappointed. You know what it is? I've seen so many championships. I've been on the other end of losing championships. Just coming off of watching the Super Bowl, where I didn't watch the Super Bowl end. I still haven't seen those guys accept their trophies, and I saw a little bit on social media of these guys popping champagne. I got out of Game 5 of the World Series so fast. I still haven't seen any of the Dodgers celebrating. And I'm in here watching Team Canada pour beers and, you know, drink out of this championship cup. And I'm reminded, like, again, what do these guys play for, right? What do they win? This. It is about pride. It is about memories. It is about a celebration with their countrymen. And they're doing it in Boston. They're doing it in, you know, the home of the Bruins, where Charlie McAvoy couldn't play. He was hurt. Before we were talking about Quinn Hughes playing, he was hurt. We know Matthew Tkachuk was compromised, and as Rangers fans are disappointed in Adam Fox and Devils fans are disappointed in Jack Hughes, you know, I just saw a meme. Austin Matthews, BetMGM put out a meme, Austin Matthews in a winner-take-all game, and they have Aaron Judge, AI image of Aaron Judge in an Austin Matthews jersey. So, yeah, that comes with the disappointment as well, pointing the finger, saying, where were you at? Where did you go? And, yeah, I want to hear from you guys, though. You guys that have grown up hockey fans in the United States, some of you that have played the game, some of you that see this game at a higher level, tell me what you're thinking. What I'm thinking now is like, hey, this sets the stage for the Olympics next year. You know, they kept showing the advertisement for the 2026 Olympics. Maybe there's a silver lining there, but for tonight, it's tough. For tonight, it sucks. The United States was this close to being that Cinderella story, that winner that rises up to beat Big Brother, and they fell just short in overtime. And of course, it's Connor McDavid that comes through. Nick is in Long Beach, New Jersey. You got it, Nick.
Keith, what's going on, my friend? Happy to get through. I've been actually trying to call you the last week or so. So it's a pleasure to talk.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, a big hockey fan, grew up playing my whole life. Tough way to go out tonight. You know, Canada did a really good job of taking away the middle of the ice on the Americans. And, you know, they really weren't able to create anything on their zone entry and, you know, it ended up costing them. And I want to touch on a point that a few callers had before the break on Hughes. And Listen, Jack Hughes is undoubtedly one of the better players in our game, one of the rising stars. You know, and that game tonight, his style of play just don't mesh. He's, you know, a bit undersized. He's the kind of player that creates space with his speed. And, you know, the Canadian defenseman did a really good job at closing him out and making him uncomfortable tonight. And you saw it, you know, he wasn't able to be himself. And he's a great player, no doubt about it. But I wanted to touch on that ending goal with McDavid, because all night McDavid was able to control the faceoff circle, especially against Matthews. And if you watch that play over, you'll see Matthews kind of gets caught following the play and following the puck, mm-hmm. which allows McDavid to get into that soft spot in middle of the ice. And ultimately, if you leave 97 open in the middle of the ice in that area, 9 times out of 10, he's going to put in the back of the
97% chance that 97's going to bang
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. There's a reason he's the best player in the world. You know, it was tough for Matthews tonight because, you know, he's supposed to be our superhero. You know, and he had his opportunity, he had the puck on his stick, and, you know, hats off to Binnington, because Binnington is a guy who is – won a Stanley Cup, and he won it in that building, and he's one of the better goaltenders in the league. You know, and he made 2 outstanding saves late in that game in overtime. One on Tkachuk, and obviously the one on Matthews right on the doorstep. You know, and then just a few moments later, you see Matthews kind of blow that assignment and allow McDavid to find that open ice, and, you know, game over. But great for the sport. It was an outstanding tournament. And as a hockey fan, you know, it's really special to kind of get that attention that, you know, we
absolutely
haven't really had. You know, and hopefully it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the season, and, you know, we can kind of build on this, because we always get the bandwagon fans around the playoffs, but, you know, to kind of get something like this going and, you know, having casuals buy in a little bit more, it's a big step in the right direction for the NHL.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Yeah, I mean, I was casual. I think I'm a little bit more than casual now, especially with going to games and watching the Devils and knowing the players on the Devils and then even watching this. And if you're a diehard hockey fan and casuals are coming in, this is the time where you say, see, like, didn't you enjoy that? Wasn't that fun? This is what we're telling you about. This is what we do every week. And it's unfortunate to come out on the losing side, but it was fun. It was entertaining. It was more entertaining than anything else since the Super Bowl. It was more entertaining than anything else. And, you know, I'm not a politics guy. I'm not into the political stuff. You never hear me talk politics on the Fan. But there is that overarching theme. Front Office Sports just put out a tweet tonight. Canada winning is for national pride amid the political tensions between the two countries. Canadian fans feel like a win over the United States means much more than usual, you know. And the way that I said that, you know, the viewership was at 4.5, 4.4 million over the weekend. There's going to be way more people watching now. And supposedly, like, the whole country of Canada was watching, hoping that the Canadians came out with a win, and they did. And like I said, they're prideful. They feel like this is their sport. I made the joke that the United States came into their building over the weekend and stole their Canadian bacon. Well, they got the last laugh. 888-808-1019. Tony is up in Montreal on the Fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith? A pleasure to talk to you. And I just want to mention to all my good buddies in the States, I've got great friends, family all over the United States. My right winger is in Philadelphia, Paul Eichelroth, and my other teammate is in California and San Francisco. So I'm a Canadian boy, and I've been playing hockey since I was 4 years old. I'm 65 right now, and I've been certainly gifted to be able to play NCAA hockey at Colby College, played against University of Maine, played against the top teams in New England. I love hockey. Hockey is the glue that gave me everything I have. I was an agent. I parlayed it into a law degree. I represented players. I'm scouting still in the league. And I just want to say to all my American hockey fans in New York, Tri-State, New England, wherever, Canada was great, but the United States team made us better. You made us work for what we had. We did not take anything for granted. the greater the opponent, the greater the victory, and the greater we became because our opponent was that great. And we do not harbor any ill feelings towards the United States. The people that are the lunch bucket people, the guys that, like me, work until midnight, getting up at 5, there's a thousand, millions of people like that in North America, Canadians and Americans. We love the sport. That's why I respect you, Keith. When I first talked to you, some guy was giving you hell. I'd never talked to you. I called you up and I said, listen, Keith, you do your thing, man. You're amazing. And don't listen to the negative vibe. It's not worth it. So the negative vibe that comes from politicians is not us. I want the people of America to know we love America. The lunch bucket guys like me that urinate icicles and play at minus 20, okay? We love the sport. We started at 5 years old. We're tough hockey players, but you made us tougher tonight. So the victory is sweet, but we respect our opponents. And I would never advocate to boo any anthem, whether it's Canadian or American, because the people that died for your flag and died for our flag in Afghanistan, Vietnam, World War I deserve respect. It's a game. And remember, we are cousins. We are allies. We will always be together in this world. Canada and the United States are the two greatest allied countries in the world. There is nobody like us.
Wow. Amazing call, Tony. You've called into my show at least 4 or 5 times. I'm glad to learn all that about you, and I'm thankful that you shared all that with us tonight. That was excellent.
Don't forget, Keith, I love people that are real, okay? I'm a poor guy. I came from nothing. My parents came from Italy. My mother's family came from the Ukraine. In one generation, I was able, through the grace of Colby College, to get 2 degrees and then get a law degree. That's the Americas. You made me what I am today. I can never be against you people. You made me and my family. So I love America. And don't kid yourself. There's millions of Canadians that love you people. And we should always love each other, because the enemy is outside of North America, that are the ones that don't like us, that despise us, that are jealous of North American success. Our success is that we're unified as allied countries, not divided by stupidity. Because we are great together, divided we're nothing.
Thank you again, Tony. Great call. Our neighbors to the north, a friendly rivalry, obviously, you know, with the booing and it being hockey and being rough and physical, it can get turned up to another level. But, you know, now that we go back to the NHL season and players from Canada go to their American cities and American players go to Canadian cities and, you know, we go back to, you know, the regular gameplay, this is done, this is behind us. Again, you know, the Canadians win, they're the champions. And obviously there is a political undertone, but ultimately, you know, I think it just added to the theatrics, the cinematic feel of the tournament. And that is entertainment, right? You know, like hearing Morash say that this is fake. No, it's so real. And like, not for nothing, all sports are fake. I kind of laugh at times, right? I remember during the pandemic when they shut down everything. You know, for me as a grown man at that time, I had to look myself in the mirror and I'm like, you care way too much about something that they can snap their fingers and say, no, we're not doing that right now. Like, it took me like 2 weeks to process that from like March 12th, 2020, when everything shut down. I didn't like actually like get a grip until later that month. I always remember that because it was my wife's birthday and it was like, you know, the New York Post put out the day sports shut down. And I'm like, wow. Like, I consume so much sports daily, weekly, monthly, my entire life. Like, none of this is real. This is all entertainment. This is all competition. And like Tony said, you know, we're allies and we're in North America. We're neighbors. And there's so many of us that cross that border and go back and forth as baseball starts. The Yankees and the Blue Jays play. I mean, the Knicks and the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, in hockey, the Devils, the Rangers, the Islanders going over there and vice versa with the teams, Montreal Canadiens, Winnipeg Jets, Toronto Maple Leafs, Edmonton Oilers. Well, who am I forgetting? You know, Robert is in Manhattan. Robert, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Brother Keith, I haven't spoken to you since, as I used to say out west, who flung the chunk, which means way back when. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, listen, having watched this Four Nation tournament, you know, this is a sports show, so I'm not going to go where I'd like to go. But let me just say that what Canada has said today is this is our sport and leave us alone politically and this is our country. But I want to say something about the NHL marketing. You know, I know this was the Four Nations, but you know who I wish could have been up there? I know he wasn't playing for any of the four countries.
Ovechkin.
But I wish they had brought in the great eight, number eight, Alexander the Great, who in about a month is going to break a record that nobody thought could be. He's climbing to Mount Everest. I'm not saying he's going to be greater than 99, although I would say that he's on the par with 99. And I'm just wondering, I mean, is the NHL doing the right thing? You know, for one thing, I wish he had been up there at Boston, in both Boston and Montreal, just so people could see his face and could remind people, hey, you know, he's going for a record that mm-hmm. nobody thought would be broken. And one last thing, if the NHL is smart, they will broadcast every Washington Capitals game on prime time from now till the end of the season just to see in hopes that he breaks the record.
Oh yeah, they can flex these games, ESPN. They can literally manufacture that. And with all of this added attention, they have to. You saw Wayne Gretzky come out at the beginning of the game, and you know, with Ovechkin, it would be a huge miss for them to go quietly with this. I think I heard the guys earlier talking about when LeBron was, you know, approaching the all-time scoring record. There was a ticker on the screen, and you couldn't miss it. So I expect the NHL to do their best to try to market it. And
well, listen, I'll tell you what, Brother Keith, you keep up because you are the hockey maven in New York for hockey and sports. I mean, you really are the creme de la creme. You are the cat's meow, and we love you. So keep up the hockey talk because, you know, other stations, we bring up hockey. Goodbye. Don't call us. We'll call you. So keep up the good work, and let's hope that the season goes on. And we got baseball. The first weekend is going to be, I guess the Yankees will be on FAN, I guess, over the weekend. So we're looking for baseball. But this was a great, great, great Four Nation tournament. I was very proud to sit and watch. You know, the only thing I'm a little upset about, I wish that there had been a way that we could have heard it on the radio. I know that there's an NHL radio somewhere, but I don't know what that is.
In New York, the Knicks were on, the Nets were on. I don't know. As I was driving in, I had my phone connected to Fubo TV listening to the audio through my car speakers.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know. Anyway, good luck, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Robert. I am no maven, and I forgot the Vancouver Canucks and the Calgary Flames. You know, I am no maven. What I am is a sports fan who understands that sports fans are drawn to different teams and different leagues, and you're drawn to things for different reasons. And I never want to discount someone's fandom. I never want to discount someone's love. I never want to discount someone's, you know, hobby or just what, you know, they're drawn to. It could be passed down from family. Everyone has, you know, different stories from what pulled them in. And honestly, when I came into WFAN as, you know, not a hockey fan, most conversations I had preliminarily were like, don't worry about it. And, you know, I've heard on the station for years, nobody cares about hockey, Boomer, blah, blah, blah. But Boomer cares when you hear in the morning and you hear CeeLo talk so passionately about hockey and some of the other guys. And I just didn't want to be someone that got on this radio station and omitted that from what I did. So I took it upon myself to find a team. Really, the Devils pulled me in, smart of them. But now I've found a new companion. Now, as the Brooklyn Nets were terrible to start the beginning of the season, they were tanking, I found myself not going to Nets games, going to Devils games, watching Devils games and not watching Nets games. And I found myself in a place where I was so thankful that I had hockey because I can't watch a team just go out there and lose. Now the Nets are competing, but I mean, was I watching the Four Nations Championship more than the Nets game tonight? Absolutely. And I feel great that I actually know the players, know the team, know the rules, know what's going on. because I feel more prepared to come in and do a show and talk to so many of you that are passionate hockey fans. 888-808-1019. Spencer is in Bushwick on the fan. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, Keith, how's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank
you. I want to say Nick and then Tony, both awesome callers. Like, Nick had great insights about hockey. I've also played hockey my whole life, and I still play now, watch religiously. Nick knew what he was talking about. I'm also a Devils fan. And so, yeah. Josh Hughes didn't dominate out there tonight, but he actually found ways to affect play in his own way. Yeah, he wasn't featured as much as people would have liked, and part of that, you have to believe, is the Canadian team knowing how to play him and playing him physically. So mm-hmm. I'm actually all right with that as a Devils fan. Of course I want to see him score 100 goals, but, I think he still did us proud in different ways. He didn't stand up to the physicality, and that's something you probably like to see as a hockey fan, but that's all right.
Like I said, I was going to come in here and defend him and lean on his youth and, him being on this stage.
Still 23.
Yeah, like he'll learn from it. It'll improve. But ultimately, if you're a Devils fan and you're keeping your eyes on him, he did not look like the guy that we see. Like the Rangers fan called in, like, oh, he's got a thing for playing against the Rangers. Well, yeah, that's different. We can count on him to dominate the Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. And look, and you hear a lot of people talk about, and I agree with it. I hope that this tournament helps to grow awareness in just the world of sports. Kids playing it more, kids knowing about it and caring about it more, watching it more. People calling about casuals watching it that don't usually watch it. That's a good thing. So, I actually had a question, do you know about any other sports, and all other American sports, pro sports and stuff are becoming more, more international, right? Everyone's calling for the NBA to do.
They're trying to, because everything is so digital. Everything now is so available across the globe. Yeah, all of these sports are trying to be global sports.
Have you seen any other athletes from other sports promoting the Four Nations playoff? Like NBA, have you seen Shea or Jamal Murray or RJ Barrett or anyone kind of boosting the Four Nations playoff? Because I think that would be a huge opportunity.
I saw a tweet from JJ Watt. I'm trying to think of who else. It was over the weekend, because over the weekend was where everybody was really like, NBA sucks. What is this? Oh, mm-hmm. Look at the NHL. Definitely JJ Watt got a lot of people's attention with his tweets.
Yeah, JJ Watt is the man, because he also gets into soccer. He's a part owner of Burnley over in England, and he's a huge Chelsea fan over in, English soccer. But, yeah, I'm curious because, Canada has huge representation in the NBA now. I didn't really see anything about those guys promoting it.
I would think that the NBA players would probably stand down. And, you had Draymond Green trashing his own league on the set of, the TV broadcast. I would think they would stand down as far as putting over the NHL. Thanks for the call, Spencer. 888-808-1019. So JJ Watt wrote yesterday, it's just incredible how much of a home run the Four Nations has been for the NHL and hockey in general. Friends who never watched a hockey game in their lives reaching out asking what the plan is for tonight's game, what food we're ordering, etc. Definition of growing the game. That is what you want. Major League Baseball is changing the game. They have a pitch clock to make the game faster. They have bigger bases so that you can steal more. They're banning the shift. There's a challenge system on the way, which I hope they expedite. If you're watching this, and I talked about it last night on my show because I saw it 2 years ago in a ballpark, in T-Mobile ballpark in Seattle. I'm like, if you can stand to wait, the few seconds of the challenge, it adds a level of shock. It adds a level of, just waiting and seeing suspense. It adds a level of suspense to the game. And all of that is an attempt to not get you the diehard baseball fan that's been watching for years and like we don't care. Like I always say, hey, until they kick us out, when I used to go to Yankee Stadium, hell, I'm hoping the game goes 18 innings because I have nowhere else to be, nothing better to do. I'm unemployed. I will sit here until they kick us out. And even when they do kick us out, those trains run all night. I'm not leaving. They want to get the casual fan. The competition for entertainment is greater than ever. People are watching people play video games in masses. Like what I just was talking about, you know, the digital component, everyone having a phone, everyone having an iPad, a laptop, where if you have an internet connection, you can stream anything. They're all competing, not just for national eyes, but for global eyes. And I mean, the NHL hit a home run with this. It's, you know, we never have this many calls, even when the Rangers win, right? Even when the Rangers win, and I was on during the Rangers run last year, somebody is calling to break it up, right? Somebody is calling to be like, nope, let's talk about the Knicks. And nope, Aaron Boone got ejected. I want to talk about that. Or, oh, did you see this? All these calls have been great. You guys are killing it. Let's take another call before we go to the break. Sam is in Hackensack, New Jersey on the Fan. You got it, Sam.
Hey, Keith, you are absolutely my favorite host on the Fan. I just wanted to get that out there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I you do a great job. I've been a hockey fan since the Philadelphia Flyers got me into this, like in the mid-1970s. I'm 68, been a hockey fan my whole life. And I understand the jingoistic stuff, and I understand the idea, okay, America, Canada. What I don't understand is the hatred toward the Canadians. You can't keep the political element out of this. I felt great for the Canadians tonight. It is their game. They all played hard, which you don't see in any other All-Star game anymore. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the NBA All-Star game was competitive. It was tremendous. And I can't remember the last time I was like anticipating a hockey game like this. Wonderful, wonderful job by everybody involved. And I thought the fans were great. It just, it was like, it was perfect. And kudos to the NHL for figuring out how to do All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, it was a win. And it did not have this much anticipation or juice leading up to it, but it just grew bigger and bigger. And for it to end like that, yeah, I was disappointed in the moment when that puck hit the back of the net. But now as we're talking through it and it's done and we realize it was an exhibition, you know, good for the Canadians. And like you said, you can't take the political element out of it. We don't have to overdo it. We don't have to amplify it. We don't have to make it like it's that serious. But there was a political undertone here. And the Canadians might have had just a little bit extra pride and motivation to, you know, get their redemption tonight. And they did.
I mean, if you told me like 20 years ago, I'd live to the day when people would be booing the American or the Canadian national anthem. I mean, I remember in 1980 with the Russians, yeah, they were the bad guys. It was pro wrestling. You had heels and faces. This is different. We're all like Canadians and Americans. I mean, we're kind of like, you know, they're our friends. I think it's terrible what's happened. And I hope everybody gets past this and forgets the politics and remembers that it's just a great game. So many Canadians play on American teams, vice versa, you know, and it was all about hockey tonight. And I just, it was everything I could have imagined. I was into every minute.
Great. Thanks for the call, Sam. I was into it too. I was anticipating this. I was anticipating the last one. And it's great to have once the NFL ends and baseball hasn't really started up yet. And hey, maybe this was all part of Donald Trump's master plan. You know, that 51st state thing, that pissed some people off up north. That 51st state thing, that ruffled their feathers a little bit. That's why they did boo in their own building in Canada, boo the national anthem. And then you got guys fighting for the American flag. It is a movie playing out in real time. But ultimately, now it's over. And hopefully, yes. You know, we can put it behind us and move forward here. 888-808-1019. As we move forward here, I'll spend the next half hour taking your calls on the four nations, on America, on Canada, on hockey, on the NHL, our local players and all that good stuff. Then when we get into 1 o'clock, I do have a bunch of notes on Juan Soto, Brett Beatty, Aaron Boone's extension, the Knicks, the Nets, what went down tonight, a few other things. So, you know, for the non-hockey fan, which I know there's a lot of you, the non-hockey fan, just hang tight. This is Keith McFarland.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pearson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on the Fan in New York, 888-808-1019. I'm taking calls on the four nations face-off, the final, the championship. Congratulations to our neighbors from the north, Team Canada. Thawne is in Washington Heights. You're on the Fan, man. You got it.
What's going on, Keith?
You know, talking the talk.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Just talking.
Oh, okay. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good.
That's what's up. God bless. Now, with the situation with the hockey, I went to one hockey game back in, like, maybe the late 70s. And I was in a group home in the Abbott House in the Catskills, and I believe Mike Tyson was there, and his coach came and got him. So I might have seen him once, and the counselors were saying, don't go near him. For some reason, they said, don't go near him, and he disappeared.
Mike Tyson came to the game with you guys?
No, he left. Remember the coach? What's his coach name? His boxing coach.
Mike Tyson, away. Boxing. I can see his face right now.
What's it? Casavano or something. I forgot his name.
Freddie Roach.
Say it again?
I'm thinking of Freddie Roach.
No, Mike Tyson's, when he was in a group home upstate New York in the Catskills, and he came and got him.
Oh, Constantine Cuz D'Amato.
D'Amato, correct. And he came and got him. So I remember Mike Tyson. He won't remember me at all. But then they took us to a hockey game in Long Island.
Okay.
So kind of hooked on the hockey thing. But then it faded away. But I remember going in circles in Long Island, in Coliseum, and we just kept going in circles and circles and circles. And hockey is a very exciting sport. I give it to you. They play hard, and they should get the most money. But for some reason, they don't. They don't get that money, NFL, NBA, and, you know.
Because they don't have the fans pouring the money into it. They don't have the revenue.
That's strange, because that sport been around forever.
Yeah, you know, they locked out, and, you know, this is what they're trying to do. This is why they're trying to grow the game. They're trying to attract more fans. And they're trying to be more inclusive of everybody, because that's how you get the paper. That's how you get the funds. That's how you grow the game and have bigger crowds. And then you're able to do more. You're able to pay players more. You're able to do things like they're doing with this Four Nations face-off.
Right. Correct. You're right. But I've never really knew anything about it. I used to watch it, look at it. I even bought a few T-shirts, you know, Rangers shirts, even had a Devil shirt given to me. I would try to support it, but then I'm a basketball player.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, too. It rivals the NBA, and I've talked about that a bunch. Thanks for the call, Thon. When I was a young kid, I remember I had a Marty Brodeur shirt, and I had a Mark Messier shirt. I didn't buy them. I don't know who bought them for me. Probably my mom. But when you're a kid and you're a fan, I had a Rangers hat to match, Devils hat to match. I remember my boy Zeke, Eric, we used to play Pogs, and then we would play street hockey, and we would play, we would trade our cards. And like, I feel like in the early 90s too, because the Devils won the Stanley Cup, and then before the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, it was just like in this area was more lively and more of a thing. But, you know, over time, the popularity kind of dipped. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's coming back up, but it still has to rival the NBA, which is in the same season. And I know me as a kid, I kind of fell off of the hockey because not long after that, Michael Jordan emerged and the NBA. Like, you know, I was like a hockey fan in like 93, 94. By 95, 96, I'm like, Michael Jordan, Bulls, watching the NBA. And it's competitive out here. And that goes back to what I'm saying about somebody's getting a raise at the NHL. This was executed well. And just the way the whole storyline played out with Canada versus USA and the little bit of ammunition that came from the 51st state comment from our president, whatever. No such publicity is bad publicity. There might be some bad blood. Some people may feel a lot stronger about it than me. I'm a sports guy. I'm watching for the narrative, the storyline, and, you know, the gameplay. But they definitely beat the NBA out in this last week. They definitely took a step forward for sure. Shukri up in Philly or down in Philly on the Fan. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you been, man?
I'm like, yo, you. I was about to say up in Boston because you've been up in Boston.
Was.
You moved down to Philly?
Yeah, man.
I haven't been paying attention, bro, but I know you were doing your thing with the Bruins up there, and
yeah,
you just relocated for work?
Man, it's life, man. Life has some crazy curveballs, you know. But
I'll hit you offline. We'll have to catch up.
Oh, absolutely. Man, it's always great reconnecting with you, man. Because like once I tuned in, I was like, yeah, he's talking about Four Nations. Like I was like, yeah, I gotta holler at my boy. Like so, but now, like honestly, it's so amazing to turn wherever you look, whether it be on Twitter right now or you even flip on the radio, listen to WFAN, and to be able to talk about the Four Nations and just how massive it's been. And Keith, I got to tell you, my guy, like the thing that amazed me, and we talked about it over on Twitter, like over the weekend, like Four Nations absolutely demolished the NBA All-Star Weekend. When was the last time that you've ever heard that statement that the NBA was dominated in the ratings over the NHL the same
never.
Weekend that
not
like,
in the playoffs,
never happened.
Not in the All-Star, never. It's a huge win, and they got to keep the momentum going because, like you said, right now, tonight, and I'm sure this is going on in other cities, other stations, and this will go on when I get off. People are going to want to talk and react to what we saw tonight and what we saw this last week or two with the Four Nations face-off.
Oh, absolutely. And rightfully so, because, I mean, the game itself tonight was, it was truly incredible. Like, first and foremost, congratulations to Canada. I got to give them credit where it's deserved. But the game itself was just, I mean, magnificent. Even if you're, like, not the most hardcore hockey fan, I mean, Keith, you know me, I'm a diehard Bruins fan, hardcore through and through, but it was just so incredible to see even the casual fan be just like sucked into the drama, the tension. And if you watch that third period, the tension was so palpable between the two teams that you could feel it through the TV and just live tweeting the game. And it's just incredible how people who normally don't watch was just so interested in the product. I think the NHL, they're going to keep it going. It's going to become a matter of how, but then also remember you have the Winter Olympics next year, a year from now. So if you thought that this was high stakes already as it was, you got the Olympics next year. And the NHL haven't been in the Olympics since 2014.
Right.
And
NHL players competing in the Olympic Games.
Correct. Yes. Like, that hasn't happened since 2014. And imagine if it's USA versus Canada again, but this time for the Olympic gold. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Wow.
And you just made me think of something as well, and I Googled it to confirm. The 2026 NHL All-Star Game is at UBS Arena for the Islanders. So there is momentum here and opportunity here to keep this thing rolling.
Absolutely. And it's going to be so much fun to watch and see like what the NHL does with this momentum. But this has been a massive win. I don't even want to say home run. I think home run is it's selling it short. But it's been an absolute grand slam for the NHL, what the Four Nations Tournament did in terms of the culture and in terms of as well as introducing new fans to the sport.
Yeah. Hey, great call, bro. Thank you for the call. So Shukri, he's from New York, but is also a radio guy. And well, I mean, when I first got on WFAN, he reached out to congratulate me, brought me on his podcast. And I admired him because he's a young brother in Boston covering the Bruins, and he was killing it with his content. He'd be outside in Boston walking and talking and doing his videos and covering the Bruins. And, like, representation matters, right? For I don't know how long. I mean, even recently. Like, I heard last year, and it pissed me off. Stephen A. Smith got on ESPN national broadcast, and he said, I don't watch hockey. Only thing black in hockey is the puck. And it's like, come on, bro. And that was actually ripped from an old Joe Beningo overnight WFAN call. And when I heard Stephen A. say that, I'm like, that's so irresponsible, brother. As the face of ESPN, the highest paid person on ESPN, and ESPN having a deal with the NHL, and Gary Bettman coming on ESPN all the time to push his league and his game, you got to be better. Right? Because there are black people that are fans. There are black players. And it is 2025. Everybody is included. They want everybody to be included because that is how they get the most dollars, the most attention. That is how they grow the game. And then you see Stephen A. Smith, they send him down to Florida to cover the Panthers. And it's like, bro, this guy is just like not in the know at all. Then they have like him and Shannon Sharp trying to talk about hockey. I was never going to let that be me. I was never going to let that be me, not know the players, not know the rules, not know some of the stuff. Obviously, the history you can't learn overnight. But, like, how do we move forward? How do we create progress and change? We can't go back to the past and make jokes like that and be irresponsible like that. So, you know, here we are tonight where there's probably people that are going to be on ESPN in the morning and doing radio shows in the morning and covering sports in the morning. And if they have just been completely in the dark and not paying attention to hockey, how do they jump into these conversations overnight? 888-808-1019. Levi is in upstate New York. Levi, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah. So before I get to one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard on radio from a few callers ago, I just want to say that I from what I see, this whole animosity thing between Canada and America, I don't think it's actually such a real thing. I think that it's sports. It's not the actual reality. It's, you know, people being passionate, a little bit of a political undertone, but I don't think it's an actual real thing. You know, it's good for marketing for the game to have a passionate, you know, USA, Canada.
I think it's more real for the Canadians that were booing and supposedly starting to boycott some American products. And
yeah, I hear, but the game ultimately, you know, us and Canadians, it's in real life. I don't think there's actual animosity between the two to compare it to, like, you know, Soviet Russia when they played back in the 80s.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Correct.
Okay. A few callers ago, I got to push back. Said one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
Me?
Said that Alex. No, one of the callers.
Okay.
I don't know how much you push back, but he said that Alex Ovechkin is on par with 99.
No, he's talking about the record.
No. He said he's after he's talking about breaking the record, which is nice. He said he's on par with 99.
No, he'll never be. It's impossible for him to be as decorated as Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky has 1,200 more assists.
Yeah, it's like
then Alex Ovechkin. Wayne Gretzky, if he never scored a goal in his life, would still have more points than anyone in the history of the game.
Wayne Gretzky, so, his trajectory,
he has the most ridiculous stats
in all of sports. They tried to compare like him to like Brady or Mahomes, and I'm like, no.
It's impossible.
His dominance in the game right away, young and over so many years. Like, I'm trying to pull up his Wikipedia. It's stupid. Like, the amount of, like, his trophy case, the amount of accolades he has, nobody can. So, I hope the caller wasn't. I think it was.
I hope not.
Yeah, I
just
forget which caller.
I just wanted to also make that clear.
Yeah, I don't think they were trying to do that.
For anybody that's listening, that, you know, people should appreciate Wayne Gretzky, too, because I know that Ovechkin's going to get a lot of publicity now for breaking the actual goals record, which is good. But just don't forget, the way it stands right now, if Wayne Gretzky never scored a goal in his life, he would still be the all-time leader in points. He has more assists than anyone else has combined goals and assists, as it stands right now. So that's all I'm saying. Got to appreciate the number 99.
Yeah, obviously no disrespect. And if you know anything about hockey, if you know anything about Wayne Gretzky, you know, he leads the hip hop ranks. Anytime a rapper raps about ice, it's Gretzky next. Any rapper that wants to make a hockey reference, it's Gretzky in the bar. Let's see. Wayne Gretzky has 61 NHL records, 40 regular season, 15 playoff, and 6 all-star records. 24 seasons after retirement, he still holds or shares 57 of those records, and he's not going to be touched. That's why I said nobody can be as decorated as this guy. I forget. I watched the documentary. I forget what I watched, and I'm like, oh, this is dumb. Like, obviously it was before my time, but like, I'm like, it is almost stupid how good this guy was and what he was able to do right away. Gretzky scored his first 1,000 points faster in 424 games than any other player in NHL history. Like, let me see, like, what else? Like, I think there's people listening probably laughing. Like, we know. But for people that don't know, just go look at his. He has his own Wikipedia, and you got to click on his achievements. Then it gives you a whole page of list of career achievements by Wayne Gretzky. And it goes on and on and on and on. You got to scroll down. I'm scrolling. You got to scroll, like, 20 times down. I don't think that caller was saying anything to compare Ovechkin to Gretzky outside of the fact that Ovechkin is approaching this record that many people didn't think would ever be caught up to. And the NHL needs to actually like market it the way they marketed LeBron approaching the all-time scoring record. Like this goals record that Ovechkin is getting close to, at 39 years old or 40 years old, however old Ovechkin is, I don't know. Like, this is something that they need to have a ticker up for. This is something that they need to be cutting in on. This is something that they need to put in front of people's faces. So, I think that's all the caller was trying to say. Let me take another call before we go to the break. Again, when we get into the 1 a.m. hour, I'll kind of reshuffle the deck and I'll hit you with, you know, some baseball stuff, some NBA stuff, just so anybody else listening that wants to talk to me about the Knicks or the Nets or the Mets or the Yankees or any of the other news things that popped up yesterday, we can hit those before I get out of here at 2. Matt is in Smithtown, New York. Matt, it's your turn. You got it.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. The Stephen A. thing that you were talking about hockey.
Yes. I don't know if you caught that last year.
No, I caught it, but I never called up. I listened to you every night going home from work. But he also once called a punter a linebacker going into like a playoff game.
Oh yeah.
So he doesn't know anything about
hockey. No, he has made so many mistakes. I remember someone was just. I think Sal was talking about how he said that Dwayne Haskins could fly, And Dwayne Haskins wasn't a running quarterback at Ohio State. He just kind of goes in unprepared and just flies off with these takes and stuff. I've heard him say a lot of ridiculous. He said two years ago, he said, the Yankees need to get rid of Falefa, whatever his name is. He's the problem. And at that time, Connor Falefa was a utility guy playing a bunch of different positions. So he was a year late with that take when he was playing shortstop.
I mean, enough's enough at this point. I mean, this hockey tournament was amazing. And that's all I really have to say. I mean, I'm obviously a huge USA fan, but enough's enough with him, please.
Nah, they're going to give him a $100 million contract, and he's going to be here for years to come, leading First Take and Sports Center and everything on ESPN.
It kills me. It kills me.
Yeah, because it's...
But you nailed it on the head. Listen, I've been listening to you for years, never called in once, and now I felt the need to, because enough is enough with him.
Thank you, Matt. 888-808-1019. Yeah, we can't get rid of Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith makes millions of dollars, and he's allowed to make millions of mistakes. And, like, there's so many of these mistakes now. Like, he also had the audacity back in, I think, 2020 or 2021 to say Ohtani could never be the face of Major League Baseball because English is not his first language, and he has to use an interpreter. And I remember baseball fans being like, what are you talking about? Right? Like, obviously, Ohtani goes on to win MVPs with his interpreter next to him. This is before we knew about the gambling and Ipe stealing money and whatever. But I remember I was on a panel in Colorado with the John Boy media crew, and we were talking about it. And I'm like, if you're a baseball fan, you're used to your favorite players having interpreters. You see them every night. You see them every day. Like, that's not something that stops someone from being the face of baseball. Like, just a couple years ago, 2 years ago, Ronald Acuna Jr. was the National League MVP, and Ohtani was the American League MVP. They were the faces of baseball, and they both had interpreters. So, Stephen A., what the hell are you talking about? Like, I just don't understand how you can have a guy for the worldwide leader in sports only know basketball. Like, only be able to talk about LeBron James. Like, only know basketball. I forget when he made a mistake in the NFL, too. He didn't know what team I think Hunter Henry was on a couple years back, where I was like, Stephen A., what are you talking about? I'm sure if I could search my tweets. We got a break anyway. Maybe I'll do that. I would love to meet Stephen A. one day. He's granted immunity. This guy, like, I can never get that off. I say one thing wrong, or I don't know something, there'll be a Reddit thread about me. Stephen A. can go on national television and completely, like, lie or embellish or just like, act like he knows something, and it's all good. They're running him checks for $1 million a week. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls on the Four Nations Championship. Canada wins. Still talking hockey, of course. This is, you know, prime time for it. I feel like across the country, and when you wake up in the morning, well, it's already morning, they're going to have to talk hockey. But I will sprinkle in some NBA stuff, some MLB stuff. I'll do like a little short mini open when we come back, and then we'll get back to the phones. 888-808-1019, BRB.